Welcome to the Contact Center Gurus, the podcast for contact center and customer experience leaders. Learn best practices, new technology, tips and tricks, and more. Listen in.
Hello, everyone. This is Darren Prine with Cloud Tech Gurus, and welcome to the Contact Center Gurus podcast. And our topic today is AI, humans, and the future of CX. In a world where automation is everywhere, what makes customer experiences truly human? Today, we'll explore how the latest AI tools can uplift CX without losing trust, empathy, or compliance. And my guest is Pat Reitz, Chief Growth Officer at LinkLive. Pat has over two decades of leadership in product marketing and digital transformation. Previous roles include Pfizer, BMO Financial Group, and Merrill Lynch. He's been central in shaping LinkLive's rise as a secure, all-in-one communications platform used by more than 1,100 organizations in regulated industries, with recent innovations like Agent Copilot, Enterprise Knowledge Base, and AI-driven routing, LinkLive is pushing the envelope in how AI and humans can partner in CX. So, Pat, welcome. Good to have you on with us today.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Darren. I appreciate the opportunity and excited to be here.
Yeah, I think we're going to blow people's minds. We have a great topic to cover, and I think you're going to provide some very illuminating answers to some of the questions I have for you.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's kick things off. My first question is, every CX leader I talk to is struggling with silos, voice, email, chat, social, all running separately. From your perspective, what's the biggest risk of these silos and how are modern platforms addressing it?
You know, you're right. And I think that's been an age old. I think of my career and kind of where I've been in communication strategies and digital transformation, right? The real risk is always the silo. And the friction that silo creates. So I think, you know, when channels like voice and messaging, chat, or maybe even SMS, email, when they're disconnected, customers and agents, they spend way too much time wrestling, you know, the mechanics of instead of just kind of focusing on the human relationship, which we all, that's what we want to do, right? So it's that inconsistency that can be frustrating, and it's not fun for anybody, right? It's not fun for the consumer. It's not fun for the agent. I think, you know, at the end of the day, customers are just reaching out to it, not to enjoy the tech, right? They don't care about the tech. They just want their problem solved and they want to be able to move on. So I think, you know, I think, Darren, for a modern platform to address this, it's more than just bringing together all of the channels and assisting, you know, all the AI to assist along the way. I mean, those things are critical. They're not easy to do. It's important. It's important that it's in one place. But I think the secret is really about the obsession that comes with the product. And that's something that we've kind of lived in my 6.5 years here at LinkLive, you know, deeply understanding the client, the business, building domain expertise right into the user experience and the workflows. Today, more than ever, that's really critical. And I think we at LinkLive, we try to spend a lot of time breaking down the barrier, if you will, of every conversation, because they're all different. When the agent, you know, the employee, the service team member, they just want to be personal. They want to be efficient. They want it to be satisfying for everybody. So it's that obsession that's really kind of key to making sure that and I guess the last thing I would say about product obsession, you know, it's never done, right? The work is never done, right? There's always room for more, but I think that's a big piece of addressing it.
I know that I started in customer care in 1997, and oddly enough, from that time to right now, I'll still call companies I do business with and call their support lines. And chat's a good example. If I can knock it out in a chat and not talk to anyone, not wait in queue, that's great. But I'll get on a chat. They'll get to a point where they say they can't help me and I need to talk to an agent. Okay, great. Let's move to voice. No. We had that's a different department or that's another division or whatever. And then a lot of times they'll give me a toll-free number to then call. Like, why can't you just transfer me? Well, we're on we're on different systems, or and we have different departments. So that's one, and it's super frustrating. What you're wanting is, all right, if for whatever reason we can't knock this out in chat, let's just move it to voice. Why can't we do that in modern CX? The other is you'll have examples where, let's say I get on with a BPO, maybe in the Philippines, and I talk to the first rep, and then we get to a point where they can't help me resolve my issue and it needs to escalate to somebody else. I then get escalated and then have to start from the beginning, start from scratch, and explain to them why I'm calling and what I need help with. Why didn't that carry through? Why didn't my customer journey, my conversation with the first agent carry through? So the next person is able to be, all right, I see where you left off. If I understand correctly, here's why you're calling. And then we continue on. But no, it's, and I guess this relates to the silos.
Well, it really does.
Or terrible CCaaS platforms where the next right. agent on the same platform can't see what I talked about with the agent before him. But yeah. Frustrating.
It really does. And it's hearing you say in 97 was your first in CX. Mine was, I think, 96. I was in a contact center. And there's not a day that goes by where I don't think about, boy, things have changed, but sometimes they haven't, right? I remember back then I had 22 different passwords, 22 different passwords, right? And they were written down like they weren't supposed to be, but that's how you needed to do to survive, right? There was way too much friction and you couldn't expose any of that. I think today's modern platform, it's yes, bringing all the things together, but it's to your point, you know, maybe some of your CX platform needs to be integrated into another platform and the two are separate and they're built to be separate for security reasons, but that doesn't matter. You have to find ways to make it a simple click to add voice or video. It's not about getting to somebody else. And then if it's a different skill that's needed, it's got to be a drag and drop, right? Just simply pulling them in. It's those types of obsessions that those are required, right? To take the friction and make it go away. But yeah, I'm glad I don't have 20.
Certainly customer journeys should move along with the conversation.
Yes.
So you're not starting from scratch over and over again.
Exactly.
That shouldn't happen anymore.
No.
So AI is everywhere right now, but a lot of leaders don't know where to start. Where do you see AI making the biggest impact in the contact center today? And how should leaders balance automation with the human touch?
Yeah, it was just at a conference recently. And I think, you know, at the end of my presentation, we're taking a lot of Q&A. And I think that ultimately just came back to if there's anything that you do, it's take action, make some starting place, right? So to your point, AI is everywhere. But I think the real question is, where is it solving problems? Where is it solving problems specifically in contact center? So I go way back to 2022, right? Seems like so long ago, but that's when we started hearing so much more hitting the headlines, right? The first thing that we did, Darren, is we turned to our customers. Highly regulated industries that we're in. I wanted to dig in to understand what mattered to them, right? So what we learned is that AI makes the biggest impact when it guides the entire conversation journey, right? So think about it. We thought a lot about use cases. We listened what's really important up front. Some organizations, it's an intelligent virtual agent. It might be with my thumbs. It could be with my voice. But it's those agents that need to handle common questions instantly, right? Containing 80% of those routine inquiries. So the human beings, the agents, can focus on the complex stuff. I mean, for some organizations, it's critical. They can't hire the next available, right? They don't have enough staff and they need to take some of this out front. So the second part that we learned in a lot of our conversations, of course, is with the human, right? With the agent. It's during the live interaction. That interaction could be messaging. Commonly, of course, it's going to be voice. But this is what we all know that's in place in the marketplace, agent assist AI. And it needs to, again, work quietly in the background. It's got to surface answers. It's got to maybe translate different languages and make that all simple. It's got to summarize a conversation and put it in its place securely, accurately. All of those things we do to keep the agent present, right? It's about people. I was just at a banking conference, community banking, and I've said this for years, Darren, people still bank with people. Not a lot of people agree with that because we use our thumbs, and in banking used to be a noun, place I went to, you know, probably 10, 15 years ago became a verb. It's a transaction. But I still really believe that people still bank with people because it's about the human touch, right? So that's the goal with AI in the conversation. And then, you know, there's after the post analytics, after the conversation, that's also important. You know, what analytics can provide critical or crucial insights, automated summary, how are we improving coaching? Those types of things are really important. So I think it's the last part of your question that I think about of, what you said, how should leaders balance, right? And I think the key is understanding the real pain points. You can't do it all. Where are the conversations breaking down? Where do you need to invest in the human aspect of your team to support them? They're overwhelmed, right? And what are you doing with AI to thoughtfully improve outcomes? And I think it's really about a blend. It's a blend of the automation and the human touch, having all of that work together seamlessly. And, you know, at LinkLive, we call our AI, AI that matters. You know, it's AI is not a product or a feature all on its own. It's the AI that makes a real difference in the contact center across the entire journey. Yeah,
agreed. I like that. Yeah. On one hand, interactions that AI can handle, it should be handling. And if AI handles interactions that it's capable of handling and resolving, it generally does it better and faster than humans. And that reflects in the CSAT scores.
Definitely.
However, there's still a large number of interactions that require a human, an expert, to handle it. And so in that regards, AI should be enabling that human in all the ways it can. So AI agent assist, I liken that to Iron Man and Jarvis. Iron Man would have died in the first movie if it wasn't for Jarvis, you know, giving him information and helping him get out of the way and avoid situations, right? You know, AI agent assist, AI analytics and QA automation, being able to collect and analyze the transcript and dialogue and be able to automatically push those notes into the CRM. Just all these things that reduces friction, that reduces the agent's time, the customer's time, and makes everything better. And makes agents better. I mean, an AI brain working with the agent interaction turns the agent into a super agent. And what business, I mean, in fact, if you're not using solutions that can reduce interaction times while improving interactions, how does that make sense, right?
I mean, right.
The technology is there. It's mature now. So companies should be using it. And right. If used properly, it's going to improve the life of the agent. When I was an agent at the phone company, I was banging my head on the desk with these repetitive interactions that didn't require any thought, that weren't a challenge. And just, you know, it's almost like a robot repeating questions and answers. And it made me hate my job and eventually made me quit that job. I just couldn't take it anymore. And now I don't think agents are in the same position I was in. And they're handling interactions that are more challenging, that they enjoy, and making a difference. So I appreciate your answer on that one. So next, many executives still think of the contact center as a cost center. How can CX leaders flip that mindset and turn the contact center into a driver of revenue and loyalty?
Yeah, it's about flipping it from a cost center to more of revenue and loyalty. Really, I think that the drivers come down, I think, to turning conversations from transactions into relationships. Right, I've mentioned that a little bit. Like, I think it's about making it easier for agents and all the friction that we've talked about, right? The art of possible is absolutely there. Some of these things are expected. And it's the capabilities that I think ultimately will make it easier for agents to be proactive helpers, if you will, not just reactive problem solvers. You know, I think to my first contact center job, it was challenging, right? And those 22 different passwords and it didn't feel fun, right? And I think today with the right knowledge and the tools, agents, I can anticipate needs, maybe personalized guidance, because I'm being helped along the way, or I should be, with what's possible today in contact center and CX capabilities. So I think it's, you know, the mix of turning from a contact center, a cost center into more of a driver of revenue and loyalty. I think it starts by automating the front line as much as possible, and as much that will the brand will allow, that's in line with digital labor. Right. Handling routine questions and tasks out front, because that's the way as a consumer I want it. But I also want to be a human in the loop. I want somebody to get to. And I think it's as a CX provider, it's our job to empower the human agents with a lot of AI driven insights and recommendations. Right. It's a blend of digital teammates, skilled humans, seamless experience all the way. But together, I think those are the things that are going to take the monotonous out, put, you know, humans in more complex. And where there's complexity, that's typically where there's revenue opportunity, right? And as we can have more empathetic conversation, delve deeper into solving the complex things, that's going to build lasting loyalty. So that's what we do. We'd like to really strike a balance of the AI-powered knowledge, the agent assist, finding those workflows so we can streamline them out front or automate them with a human in the loop. So ultimately what it really feels like, it makes every conversation smarter and more meaningful, right? And I think it's when you can put an agent in that position, then they're focused and solving more complex things and the revenue opportunities come.
It reminds me also of something my favorite CX author, Jeffrey Bean, has said to me many times. And he said the goal for a business of a customer care interaction isn't just to satisfy the customer and to get a great CSAT score, but it's to create advocates. Mm. And I think the right platform and an agent being able to perform at the top of their abilities or beyond the top of their abilities, because it's got AI helping them. I think that lends itself towards creating advocates from customers.
Yeah, it does. It makes me think of another thing kind of to our earlier conversation about the art of possible and AI and the journey. One of the things we really pride ourselves on is having domain expertise, working with our customer success team. One of the things that comes to mind for me is, it was a long time ago in the AI space, 2.5 years ago, one of our largest clients, they came to us, they were struggling with language barriers, right? They're serving a community of very diverse residents. They didn't have all of the agents kind of speaking languages that led to large queues, a lot of times they couldn't get to, and they brought to us, you know, this is 2.5 years ago, early days in the AI space, and we built an AI chat translation solution together. So it let everybody ultimately communicate in their own language, kind of no matter who was on the other end. For them, it was a game changer. You know, a couple huge benefits came out of it. You know, they won an innovation award, one thing. And then today, half of their inbound chats are with residents who don't share the same language as the agent. Right? And that kind of blew my mind around. They have reached much higher set of customers because of their kind of proactive, willing to take the risk 2.5 years ago to figure this out. And I think, you know, the advocacy, they've created that, and we've created it with them, right, in terms of they brought to this challenge, and we've kind of had, you know, collective success with it. So, the advocacy is really important all the way around, right, just with the consumer as well as with a client base.
Excellent. So, with so many tools out there managing CX tech stacks has become a nightmare. What are some of the hidden costs of tech, of tech sprawl that leaders often overlook? And what's the smarter way forward?
Yeah, you're right. I mean, it is in CX stacks, tech sprawl, it can be a silent killer, if you will. I've been on the buyer side. You've mentioned that. I've been responsible for lots of channels investment. I've put them together. I've sold them. It's hard, right? And I think sometimes as a leader, maybe you focus on the upfront costs, the acquisition piece, not necessarily all the total cost of ownership, may overlook some of the hidden expenses, the redundant licenses. Managing multiple platforms can be really expensive. And I know we've had a lot of success through a total cost of ownership, ROI, that shows you can bring those things together. It can improve an agent experience in the way that we've talked about, but it can also reduce the headaches and the challenges of multiple vendors bringing those all together. Less disconnected, it's easier to integrate. It's easier to integrate second-party data when you only have one provider. And I think, you know, another, in the past, you know this as well as I do, in the past, you know, probably 6-12 months, there's a new dimension, right? AI taxes. AI taxes and many pricing models, I think, in the marketplace, the AI-powered tools are still complex. You're not recognizing the total cost going into it and the real ongoing cost and what that may be in terms of expected ROI. So we've taken the time to kind of factor that into a lot of that usage into seats and try to understand all of these use cases, how they're going to be commonly used, and bring that up front, right? And during a consultative, value-driven conversation with, what are you trying to solve and what's the total cost of ownership going to be? So I think that's, you know, that's a big part of understanding tech sprawl, if you will, and how it can be solved going forward. Yeah.
Cool. Now you guys work in a lot of heavily regulated industries. When I was in the CCaaS game, I would say that wasn't the case at the places I worked, but you guys work in heavily regulated industry, and security and compliance can make or break CX in industries like healthcare and finance that you work in. What should leaders be demanding from their technology partners in terms of trust, compliance, and customer data protection?
Yeah, absolutely. You're right. We kind of grew up in highly regulated industries, you know, a lot of healthcare, finance. Of course, we've expanded beyond that, a lot of field services, as well as, you know, social assistance and some government. But I think, you know, in terms of regulation and regulated industries, security and compliance, we don't have the success by checking boxes, right? They're fundamental. In terms of our posture around security, building trust with customers, protecting sensitive data. You know, I know over 20 years in highly regulated domains, you know, our clients, our partners, they drove us, right? They demanded how we demonstrate rigorous security posture, including a lot of certifications. The one that is a process is a high trust certification process. So it's there that we've kind of proven our highest standard of data privacy and compliance. So, you know, we talk about it. It's important. It's a massive effort, but it's foundational for us. And I think it goes beyond certifications. I think, you know, looking for partners in the CX space, they need to have kind of a human-centric approach, AI and CX coming together. You know, meaning how you're thinking about privacy and ethical use and human oversight. These are components that we're being proactive here in terms of a risk management posture, how we're handling data, you know, strong guardrails. Yeah, it's just, you're really, really critical that we be proactive in that space as we have more of these outcomes that are just expected. It doesn't get easier. It's back to my earlier comment. You know, the product obsession is never done. And I think that's the case here with security and data privacy with respect to AI usage specifically.
And, you know, being that you work in heavily regulated industries and you've been able to meet the strict compliance and security required by banks, required by healthcare, I guess you guys are at least pretty much set up to meet the demands of any industry, aren't you?
We are. We've seen a lot of it. We've, you know, with 20 years in the space and working through very, very large organizations that have high demands, you know, sometimes that makes us change our roadmap, right? And get out ahead of things because of conversations that we're having with existing customers, changes that are coming down the road that they require, that we'll work in to our roadmap to make sure we deliver it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, what's interesting is on one hand, it makes a lot of sense to move away from silos and find an all-in-one, if that's the right terminology. But then on the other hand, there's like Salesforce would like to provide everything, but is their contact center platform as good as, you know, as LinkLive or a Genesys or Five9 or NICER? No. You know, likewise, none of those companies have a CRM that is anywhere near what Salesforce can do, right? So everybody has core competencies and things they do really, really well. But if you can be an all-in-one that does everything well, for example, a lot of folks don't think about CCaaS provider providing an AI that's on par with, say, Core or Yellow or Boost or some of the others. But, you know, if you're able to actually do all of those different things well, then certainly there's a lot of benefits for clients. Because like you said, the data is in one place, less integrations, less things that can go wrong, a single UI. Maybe you could share an example or two of clients where they were using multiple systems. Maybe we'll walk through two examples. One, you have a client that's using multiple silos, and then what is the cost? What are they experiencing? And then what was their experience moving to a platform that basically met all their needs? And then what were their results or the outcome from that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, with 1,100 clients, we have kind of a broad range of client size. So, you know, I'll pick on banking, for example. You know, there are thousands of community banks across the U.S., and, you know, contact center, they don't always have contact centers. They have human beings that use a phone to help customers, right? If they do have a contact center, typically it's going to be, you know, a community bank contact center is going to be less than 50 agents. So the benefits that we've brought to those organizations is, you know, customers expect their bank to be there no matter where they're at, right? It could be on an SMS, it could be chat before or after authentication, it could be after hours when I'm trying to reach the branch, etc. So for those organizations, they look to the benefits of bringing all channels together, right? And then also building in a lot of the modern capabilities, some of the AI that we talk about either out front or with their customers. So those types of organizations are seeing a much lower total cost of ownership. You know, I could tell you, you know, where we've replaced maybe 20 different communication tools. And, you know, maybe the culture of the organization is to move the desk phone off of the desk into a soft phone, right? And maybe they want it on a link, a securely auditable on the go for a banker who's on a LinkLive mobile app on their own personal device. So lots of capability there. So I think great examples of that all in one. But, you know, Darren, I also want to recognize too that not every buyer wants to buy all in one, right? And we absolutely recognize that. We work with a lot of very, very large enterprise organizations for traditionally they're buying endpoint solutions. You know, we have a lot of what we call mobile worker in the marketplace. I think of field services. I think of the 72 million Americans that go to work every day. They don't have a desk. They're part of a small team and they need to be connected, right? So, you know, great example in healthcare where a medical provider, you know, maybe a team of three medical providers supporting seven different assisted living facilities. Two of them might be asleep. One of them may be awake. But they're all carrying a LinkLab mobile app and having, you know, expectations of the most modern CCaaS on their own personal device. So lots of endpoint examples that we have, or a voice IVA that, you know, may be out front but wants to plug in to somebody else's CX because the organization's too large to move all in one, right? And you want an endpoint solution. So we see lots of examples, and I think the benefits, you know, are anything from, you know, the total cost of ownership that we've talked about. But specifically with an all-in-one, it's, you know, there's a significant savings when you can look at, you know, maybe 20 people who are sitting in different locations across a region or a city, but they can all answer chats or SMS or voice calls, pass internally as well, and make it, you know, really simple and easy to use and not worry about the fact that, you know, sure, it's all auditable on the back end if it needs to be, and compliant, et cetera. So lots of different examples. I get excited about our client base and how we solve.
Yeah, and the outcomes that they're seeing. So that's got to be exciting. Maybe let's finish with kind of an example. You could use a real client example, or you can just kind of come up with an example based on different clients that you've worked with, and kind of walk through so that people can picture in their minds that blend of humans and AI. So maybe it's a client where you're actually, we'll use your platform as an example, automating particular percentage of interactions. Maybe they're tier one, and then how it then flows to a human when it needs to. And then what the AI is doing to assist the human, what it's doing post-call, how it's helping training and quality assurance. And then I'm probably missing some points or factors here. Maybe walk through that so people can paint a picture in their minds.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I think of it is kind of the central part of this is the knowledge base, right? So the knowledge base, as we started working on our journey orchestration engine a few years ago, it was the knowledge base that is at the center of it. And that knowledge base is now in a place where it can be the DNA and be fueled with our clients' data, either their own proprietary data, second-party data, could be anything from content to APIs off of their second-party data to deliver workflow. So if you kind of take that as the central piece, the knowledge base, it now has the ability to kind of fuel out front containment with an IVA. Again, my thumbs with a chatbot or my voice, it's our client's knowledge that's driving and answering those questions. So up to, you know, 80% containment with accuracy takes away all of the questions that I had to answer 22 years ago or more, I should say, right? All of those common questions that can be answered. Or it could be workflow with an API off of that journey orchestration engine for a healthcare organization. Instead of asking, you know, when's my appointment, I need to change it, let's just build that into the IVA. So that knowledge base drives a lot of the virtual assistant. I also get excited about it's that same knowledge base that's driving all of our Agent Copilot, Agent Assist AI, right? So, you know, now we have an example here of an organization, I'll give you, Darren, that, you know, this is an organization that took phone calls on LinkLive. They've got a separate CRM, very complex taxonomy. You know, it's a resident that calls up with a complex question. The agent needs to understand all kinds of tax laws and then other rules. The call could be up to 25 minutes, right? Factoring all of that. What we've done now for the agent in that journey orchestration engine, LinkLive listens to the call. It has that central CRM with all of the complex questions. It just tells the agent. It shows, right? It shows the agent all the taxonomy, all the capabilities, and it now becomes a confirmation with the resident. Takes the phone call maybe from 20, 25 minutes down to about 5, right? And that, for me, is amazing. That is what AI that matters, right? What it's supposed to do. So those are examples. Again, it's back. It's Simple Mind, right? It's out front. It's that knowledge base helping out front, drive a lot of containment, reducing the volume of the calls coming in, and then, of course, serving the agent as a guide, my assistant, my digital labor right there with me, shortening my calls, making them easier, allowing me to focus on the conversation and the relationship, right? So those are the examples I get excited about, reducing a lot of handle time, improving the employee satisfaction, right? And making them happier, which we all know plays out. It plays out in each and every conversation. If I'm happier, my employee or my customer is going to be happier.
Yeah, good for attrition. Yeah. And then, of course, post-call, it's going to help assist the agent with getting the notes into the CRM. But then it's going to help as that customer care department as a whole with looking at valuable analytics.
Yes.
Maybe you uncover some root cause analytics where you're able to make some changes that now those calls aren't coming in anymore because you've handled it on self-serve.
Absolutely.
And then also, knowing how to coach agents to make them better. And that benefits the client, it benefits the organization and the agent. And how does that tie in the Link Live example?
Yeah, it is another use case. I'm having a conversation as an agent. I'm going to see the sentiment analysis. I'm going to understand the tone of how I'm being perceived, right? I may not see you on video. A lot of the times we're not on video. So what are the other things that I'm getting as guidance and coaching? So it's an AI agent co-pilot that is going to help with sentiment analysis, tone analysis, give me tips along the way. Of course, there's the QA capability, the post analytics after that. That's also going to be part of, making sure that we're taking those components. It could be the reporting engine, helping the assessment. Where are the gaps in the IVA today that I got to go fix with other content? Or maybe there's an API that I need to go get and fix and contain another chunk of calls that are coming to the agent when they shouldn't be, right? So you're absolutely right. That's the big piece of it too, is this, the post analytics and helping the supervisor, the admin, making recommendations. I think we're just at the tip of kind of where some of this is going. I don't, sitting in my seat here at Link Live for 6 years, I'm amazed with the product, of how it's evolved. I'm amazed with what's out in front of us in terms of some of the capabilities to see the kind of the art of possible and the ability to deliver on it, because we can here at Link Live being nimble and innovative.
That's fantastic. Well, great. I think it's time to wrap up. You've sure enlightened me on a lot. And hopefully the audience as well. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to have my marketing specialist throw up a slide or two for people to see.
Okay.
They want to see an example of an all-in-one platform with all the capabilities we've described. Link Live is amongst the best of them. And if you want to see a Link Live demo, I can help make that happen. My company, Cloud Tech Gurus, is a distributor for Link Live. And so we can get that booked. So otherwise, Pat, this was great. I appreciate your time and great answers. And we'll look forward to doing a future podcast in the future.
Likewise. Thank you so much, Darren. And thank you for your partnership with Cloud Tech Gurus. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
Thank you kindly. And everybody, thanks for joining us today.
Your customers expect rapid, personalized service across every channel. Delivering on these expectations empowers your organization to connect with trust. Using separate solutions for each channel can complicate your operation. With Link Live, you will transform your contact center and your customer conversations. We offer voice, video, email, chat, SMS, and more. With our all-in-one contact center platform, we will securely connect you with consumers in the channels of their choice.